said to us that the Lord will send his word to us this morning, and the word of the Lord will be real in our lives as we listen to the word of the Lord. That the word of the Lord will not be empty in our lives as we come to his presence. That the Holy Spirit of the Lord himself will teach us. That we not hear from man, but we hear from the throne of grace. Let us pray for ourselves. That Lord, touch my heart with your word. Let me come to the place of learning today. And from there to the place of the doer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Everlasting Father, we thank you this morning. It's another privilege to want to share your word. And it's another privilege to hear your word constantly. By your spirit, you will teach us. You will teach the teacher. You will teach the hearer. So that both the teachers and the hearer will be blessed of you. And at the end of the day, our life will not be remain the same. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Before we sit down, I want us to open our Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And I want us to read together. Isaiah 55, from verse 10. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in the Lord, what do you want to do now? I just want you to put your finger there. Is we want to make a declaration. You know what? Here on Tuesday, we talk about the word of God. We learn constantly. Me and my brother got into a conversation that this anytime we come to the church, we are students of the scriptures. We come to learn the word of God. But when we come constantly and we learn constantly and never touch our life, praise the Lord. That is not the best. Praise the Lord. So we are going to declare the word of the Lord. Let me tell you a story. There was this young lady that was living in a country where it is not permissive to go to the church. So they have what they call the underground church. So they sneak to the church and they come back home. Not anybody know. But this day, this young lady was caught by the police. And she's going to be in trouble. And as soon as the police caught her, and she said, Lord, she prayed under her breath and said, Lord, I don't want to lie. Give me the word to speak. You know, the word of the Lord is alive and it's amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And the word came from heaven. That's why I want to declare this word this morning. And the word came from heaven. The young woman opened her mouth and she said, my older brother died. And I and other brother and sister went to read his will. That is where I'm coming from. Who is our older brother? What is his will? The word of God. So we want to declare that word now. Our older brother died and he rose. Hallelujah. So let's read his will according to the scripture. Let's go from verse 10 to 11. One, two, go. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but we are accomplish which I desire and achieve the purpose which I send it. The word of the Lord will achieve his purpose in your life today in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. His word will not return void. 6 verse 1. Well, this is actually a Bible study. I got it mixed up somewhere. And I don't know, Pastor, pardon me for that. So, praise the name of the Lord. Those who knows, knows. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. And I read from verse 1. Therefore, let us leave behind the basic teaching about Christ. What is the basic teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ? There are six of them. One, repentance. He said, let's therefore leave behind the basic teaching about Christ and advance to what? To maturity, without laying the foundation all over again. The first one, repentance from dead works. Number two, faith in God. Can you scroll it up a little bit? That's number two. Then number three, instruction about what? And the third one, laying of hand. And number four, is it number five? The resurrection of the dead. And number six. So today we are going to talk about living a resurrected life, which is one of the basic foundation of the Christian, of our Christian faith. That was what the writer of the book of Hebrews was saying there. Said, we should now be advancing in those basic ones. We should be going deeper in those basic ones. And that is exactly by the grace of God that we're going to do this morning. Hallelujah. We want to talk about living a resurrected life. On Tuesday, for those who are here, we run through the story that the Lord Jesus Christ told. We know it's not his story. Amen. And we explain some of the basic facts that are there to know that one day this earth is going to do what? It's going to be burned off. It's going to roll over. Praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I read from verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, like I told you, is a Bible study, so we are going to open a lot of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15. Do you guys get it? Or should I just open my Bible? If anybody is there, can you please read? 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. The basic of our Lord Jesus Christ coming to the earth is to fulfill the scripture. Thank you, sir. To make sure that the will of the Lord is what? Is done. In our Bible class this morning, we explain and espouse that that should be the desire of every Christian. To do what? Always want to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ said, I've not come to fulfill, to destroy the law. But to do what? To fulfill it. That means to bring the desire of the law to pass. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 says, for I deliver to you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for what? For our sins according to the scripture. So that is the basis of our Lord Jesus Christ coming. To die for our sins. Amen. Now, this is also a fulfillment of the scriptures. Jesus Christ, everything about the Lord Jesus Christ that was accomplished in the New Testament has been foretold in the Old Testament. Psalm 16, verse 8 through 10. Book of Psalm 16, 8 through 10. It was foretold that we would die. But his body will not see what? Will not see corruption. It has been foretold. Are you there, or should I? Amen. Psalm 16. I've set the Lord always what? Before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. 8 to 10. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in what? In hope. Hallelujah. I wish you get what I'm getting from this. For you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Who is the Holy One of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. That is the foretelling of the purpose of coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 71, verse 20 to 2, from 20 to 21. Another messianic prophecy. Before he came at all, his agenda was declared in the Old Testament. Amen. Well, the purpose that is coming to fulfill is already being declared. Psalm 71, verse 20 to 21. You, which have showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken. What does the word quicken means? To give life to. Hallelujah. He said, you shall give life to me again. Hallelujah. It's only the one that is dead that can receive a new life. Amen. And remember, every one of us were dead in our trespasses. And he said, shall bring me up again from the depth of where? Of the earth. That is the Sheol or the Hades, which is called, translated in King James Version, hell. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Job declared, Job chapter 19, verse 25 to 27. If anybody's there, before they got it over there. Job 19, 25 to 27. For I know. Job declared without hesitation. Praise the Lord. And the oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. That's the first one that was written. He said, for I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand on the later day on what? On earth. Amen. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. I'm telling us, I'm trying to lay the basic foundation that the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is not an afterthought. It's not God just wake up. I think we need to redeem the sinners. I think we need to do something about it. Before the foundation of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ has been laid. He has laid down his life. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Say, come. Let us return to the Lord, for he has turned and will heal us. He has smitten and will bind us up. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we know he has been foretold. What is the importance? Why do we have to care about it? What is the relationship within it? I'm still coming down to it, but I just want us to lay the foundation that this is the will of the Lord. Now, I was asking a question. I don't know if anybody heard me. When Pastor Delaney asked a question the other time, and he said, I will ask a question about what we studied in the Bible class. I think it was Alagba that said it. He said, this is a passion week. And the question is, why is it called a passion week? Praise the Lord. What is the meaning of passion? In general English, it is just a great desire. Praise the Lord. When you desire to get something, that's it. I have passion for. You know, if somebody loves to paint, he said he has passion for painting. You understand what I'm saying now? See, this week is called a week of passion because our Lord is ready to fulfill the will of the Lord. There was nothing that could disturb him from going to that cross. That was why it's called what? Week of passion. He was passionate. He desired it. Just because he wanted to buy me and you back from the slave market of sin. Say hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants to redeem us from where the enemy has. We have sold ourselves to the enemy. And our enemy has sold us in the bondage. Anyone that has not known Christ as Lord and Savior is in bondage. Either they like it or not. They might have millions of dollars in their account. They are slave to the flesh. Hallelujah. Anybody know who is the richest man in the world today? I forgot. The name is Beto or something. He owns Amazon. Hallelujah. He's the man. Oh, he used to be the computer guy. Amen. The man who owns the Amazon. You know how rich this man is? He just got divorced from the wife. I think the wife got about $54 billion as a divorce settlement. She's the richest divorcee in the world today. You know what this man did? The man who has all the money, the man who has all the... I was telling my wife this morning, there was this company that was advertising. He said, a company that aligned to... It's an Amazon company. You know Whole Food? I worked there for 5 years when I came to this country. It's a billion-dollar company. Amazon bought it. This man made a stupid mistake that caused his wife to divorce him. No matter how rich you are, if you do not know Christ, you are in chain. Hallelujah. Might not be a visible one, but it's a spiritual one. Amen. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ has to go there to make a declaration in the pit of hell. On Friday, on Tuesday, we declare that man is made up of three parts. The spirit, which is of the Lord. The clay, which is manufactured by the Lord. And where at the point where the soul, where the spirit and the body meet, a soul is produced. When God breathes the breath of life that comes from heaven into that body that's made of clay, the Bible says, and man become what? A living soul. A man that is not complete has a soul, he has a body. When your spirit is not reborn in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are just a walking clay. Hallelujah. He went to that cross because of me and you. He suffered, he passionately suffered it. Remember when Paul said, when Peter said, Lord, you are not going to the grave. He said, get thee behind me. You know, it's not the Peter that was speaking. The enemy behind was speaking. Hallelujah. Amen. We know that Christ was raised from the dead. And those of us who believe in him, we share in what? In his resurrection. Because he rose, we have risen. Amen. Let's go to the book of Galatians. So that you can, I'm just trying to lay the basic of, I'm not going to take our time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 6 verse 6. Before we go to Galatians. Romans 6 verse 6. To show that we identify ourselves with his death. To know that you as a believer, amen, you are crucified with who? With Christ. Knowing that this, our old man, is crucified with him. That means if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, when he was nailed to the cross, you are figuratively nailed to that cross. Because we have our being in him. The Bible says in him we do what? We live and move. Any Christian without Christ is not a Christian. Praise the Lord. See, our heart desire as Christian all the time is we always look back to the cross and look forward to where? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In between, there's a life that we must live. I'm going to say this again. We should always look back to where? To the cross. And look future to where? To the coming of the Lord Jesus. And in between, we have to live what we call a resurrected life. It's an extraordinary life. It's a life that's never been lived before. Behold. Look. Observe critically. Look at it. When a man is in Christ, is what? A new creation. See, it's not a new creature. It's a new what? A new creation. Hallelujah. Amen. You see that man that you used to know before he became Christ, that man is what? Dead and buried with Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ rose from the dead, that man you see, this new man you are seeing is what? As risen with Christ. That is why it's a new creation. It's not the old one as well. This one is a new one manufactured by the mighty hands of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then, how can we live a resurrected life? That is the basis of our talk today. Hallelujah. We need to live like someone that was dead, but is now alive. Now let's look at the significance of our Jesus. Let's look at our Lord Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead. Praise the Lord. Let's look at some two basic facts, then I'll go on to how to live a resurrected life. When he rose from the dead, the first thing that he said to the lady that saw him was, do not what? Touch me. Because I have not ascended to what? To your Father. When he rose from the dead, God become our what? Our Father. Is God your Father? Are you acting like his son or daughter? You know he's an holy God. The Bible said the eyes of God is so pure that I cannot what? Is that the way we conduct our lives? Remember, when he was nailed to the cross, you were nailed to the cross. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with what? With Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I'm living now, what kind of life it is? We are living the life of Christ. Can you say wholeheartedly? None of us is there. But are you dying daily to self, to the whole man? the man of lawlessness, the man of sin. Praise the Lord. You see, there are nice gossips. We just discuss. See, Mama Majo, if you go to our house, we'll pack your plate full of food. Mama want to make me fat. And we begin to talk about people. And we begin to say about, and the Bible says, every idle word shall be what? Is it like Christ? Look at Sister Julie. Oh, wow. The necklace doesn't match the undershirt. How can she dress like that in the church of the Lord? Where believers are called saints. Amen. Don't you know she's Saint Tolu? But you see, acting a saint, living a resurrected life. Let's see what are those things that is required of us. Praise the Lord. I know when my sister was praying yesterday, those of us who log on the line yesterday, and he mentioned it, I said, Lord, I'm happy that, because the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every truth will be confirmed. When my mama was praying this morning, he made version of one. When Pastor Larry was reviewing, he made one of them. I said, God spoke to me. I heard it God correctly. Praise the Lord. Number one, the first thing that we need is to walk in purity and chastity. In purity of what? And what? And chastity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 8. Purity. I don't want to use the common word. We used to call it holiness. We don't know what that holiness means. Amen. When you are pure in heart, when you are pure in what you do. I used to tell I'm a high school teacher, and I saw these teenagers, 16, 17, and 18. I see the way they do them. So and I tell those of them that I can talk to, see, like I'm going to talk to my little daughters and sisters here. Listen, your body is not of yourself. When you are a believer, the day you gave your life to Jesus, your body become what? The temple of the Holy Spirit, the abode of God. Don't let anybody disrespect your body. I'm talking about, maybe it's possible for the married people too, but to the younger one, we should make sure that our body is what? Is respected. Amen. Don't let any boy, any little idiot touch your body the way it shouldn't be touched. Praise the Lord. And make sure you don't do what you don't need to do so that it attracts. When you put an honey somewhere, very soon you begin to see insects coming out, right? Why? Because they are attracted to eat. Hallelujah. That's what's called chastity. For the adult, it's purity of heart. When you make a mistake, and you make that mistake out of the pure heart, man might not forget it, but God is going to forgive you. Hallelujah. That is a sin. What I did it innocently. Out of my pure what? Or pure heart. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification or your setting apart for the Lord, that you abstain from talking about chastity. Amen. Another thing is humility. Now, I'm going to use two divine individuals. I'm watching my time. I know I don't have more time. I'm going to use two divine individuals to explain this humility. Even if you stop here today, I think I'm going to be satisfied. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28. And I want us to see it. Humility. Ezekiel 28. I will use our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to use the devil. Satan, the devil. I'm going to use it as two individuals. Ezekiel chapter 28. Oh. If you're there before me, I'm going to read from verse 1. Let me read from verse. So I'm reading from NIV. The word of the Lord came to me. This is a prophecy. Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord said. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am God, and I sit on the throne of God, in the heart of the seats, but you are a mere mortal, not God, though you think you are as wise as God, as wise as Daniel. Now, I will read down there, but what I want to, let me lay the foundation. This is describing Satan the devil. Praise the Lord. He thought he wanted to place himself above what? Above the throne of God. The Bible describes it in Ezekiel chapter 28 and book of Isaiah chapter 12. It described him as very beautiful angel. He was called a covering cherub. And a cherub that covered the throne of God. Pure as lily. The Bible says when he walked in the throne of heaven, what happened? Every part of his body bring out music. Hallelujah. When you get back home, read Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah, is it 14? Yes, 14, 12 or 14. Praise the Lord. He said when he walk in, he can ascend to the throne of God. He can go to the presence of God himself. But he was proud and he looked at himself. God has wonderfully and fearfully made me. I think, what has God got that I have not got? And the Bible says he fell. With how many angels of heaven? One third of the angels of heaven, according to the book of Revelation. That's a millions and billions and billions of angels. We don't know the number. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. This is what I want to tell you about humility. Let's start from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, let me read from verse 1. Don't let me go that far because of our time. Let me read from verse 5. Are we all there? I want us to see it. Every Christian that wants to live a resurrected life should be humble. The Bible says he gives grace to what? And it does what? Receives the proud. You know what to resist mean? To push away. When God pushes you away, you're in trouble. And the only thing that can let God push away as he pushes devil away is what? Pride. Let's see about now. Why was Jesus Christ promoted? Was it because he was unique, Son of God? Was it because he was special to God? No. According to the scripture, it was his what? His humility. Let's see what the scripture has to say. Who, talking about Jesus Christ, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself what? Nothing. King of kings and the Lord of lords came to the earth. Ride a borrowed donkey. Hallelujah. Amen. We talk about it in the Bible class. The pastors of this world have jets. The King of kings himself have a what? Nothing. He borrowed it. The owner said, what are you doing with my donkey? And they said, the Lord did it. Ah, okay. The Lord can use it. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, he made himself what? Nothing. By taking very nature of servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as what? As a man. He does what? Humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. That is the giver of life. How can he die? But he still submitted himself to what? To death. Where is the source of life? Answer me, church. Who is the source of life itself? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he submitted to his own angel. You know, pastor allowed me to preach in one day, and I now walk with my high up. Oh, Sister Rosa, how are you? God bless you. Oh, Brother Pablo. Just because he gave me a privilege, but our Lord and Savior humbled himself. Amen. And let's continue. In verse 9, therefore, because of his humility, he got promoted. God will promote you as you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ told them a story. You know how to be disgraced? I'm going to give you a method of being disgraced. And if you want to be humble, I'm going to give you. He told them in the book, I think the book of Matthew, he said, if you go to a place they invited you, if you want to be disgraced, go and take the top seat. Go to the front row and say you want to sit down. And when the big man comes, and they will tell you, when the big man comes and he said, oh, that is the commissioner or the director or the managing director of, can you please, sister, can you take your seat, go to the back. And everybody is sitting down and said, oh, so sister is not that important? He said, you should go out where? Go and take your seat in the back. So when he went, who is sitting in the back? Pastor Amajo? No way, not where I'm standing. Pastor Amajo, can you please come to the front? That is the purpose of humility. When you humble yourself, God is going to do what? God exalts you. Says, see what they say. He said, therefore, God exalted him to the highest what? Place. Not only that he was sitting at the right, as a man, sitting at the right side of God the Father, another thing was added. And gave him a name that is above all names. Now, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Not only the things on the earth, all things in heaven and under the earth. Why? He humbled himself. Are you a child of God and you're still healthy? You think you have what nobody has? Oh, God. Every Friday when I was young, my grandfather was a great-grandson of somebody who was very in line next to Olubana. Our family house is called Otun Olajumoke's house. So Olajumoke is our family name. The drummers will come every fortnight. We call it Jimo Olonyi Honest Friday. That's the way I can translate it. I'm beginning to drill drum. 6 o'clock in the morning, they're inside of our house beating drum. Somebody that is wise, that says nobody is wise, he is the chief of all the stupid. And he told me, if you say you are wise, you are humble, you are that, and nobody is better than you, what you get is a disgrace. Hallelujah. Because our Lord humbled himself. God gave him a what? A name that is above all names. And at the name of Jesus, another one is, my sister was praying that on yesterday. He said, God, let them know our church as a place of love. If you want to live a kingdom or a resurrected life, you have to show love. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, you want to have friends, you should be friendly. Praise the Lord. You know, when people see that the genuine love these guys has for people, what's going to happen to people? I pray we be that church that we love each other in real sense of it. Amen. That's why I ask us to make that declaration that the word of God will come into our heart today. And we will not return to him void, but to do which we accomplish, which God has sent it to do. Shall we bow our heads as we pray? You are going to pray, Lord, make me a lover. Give me a humble heart, a heart of humility. Make me pure indeed, so that the glory might come upon me. I want to pray. Somebody who wants to live a kingdom of life is somebody that's always worshiping the Lord in the spirit, not in the flesh. A humble person, the person that loves the Lord, we always want to worship. To live a kingdom life is to worship the Lord constantly. Pray that the Lord, I pray that the God will water this word in your heart in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not be learning and learning not to come to the place of doing what the Lord wants us to do. God is more interested in who we are than in what we do. He wants us to live a resurrected life. A life that fits the call of the Lord upon our lives. That's what he wants us to live like.